Well, the big question in international news this morning, is the ceasefire between the US and Iran over? According to the US president, it is.
I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo.
That is the US President Donald Trump speaking overnight. His declaration at the NATO summit in Turkey came as Iran's armed forces attacked US military sites in Bahrain and Kuwait in response to US strikes on more than 80 targets in Iran. The US has also announced that it has reimposed sanctions on Iranian oil sales, which had been lifted as part of the temporary ceasefire agreement signed last month. Joseph Votel is a retired four-star US Army general and former head of US Central Command. I spoke with him a short time ago. General, welcome back to Breakfast. President Donald Trump yesterday said that the ceasefire with Iran is over. Is it?
Well, I don't know. I will see. I heard a little bit later today that, at least on the East Coast side here, that some of that language was modified a little bit here, but we'll see. Certainly, it's a significant negative inflection point from the 17 June Memorandum of Understanding.
Iran's foreign minister said, quote, "We do not answer vulgarity with vulgarity, but with action, fearlessly and with great valor." How do you expect Iran to respond?
Well, I think what Iran is demonstrating here is that they are going to continue to use, coercive military activity in the form of these attacks against ships and some of the shipping lanes, and then against kind of the partner nations in U.S. that are hosting U.S. bases to continue to use that as kind of a negotiating tactic. I think that's become very, very clear. I think one of the big takeaways from just this most recent flare-up, I think, is the recognition that Iran is, at least in my estimation, is pursuing some type of permanent sovereign control over the Straits of Hormuz and not just trying to establish some level of deterrence. And I think that's a significant difference here, and I think that's causing them to act in different ways.
What does President Trump's current level of frustration tell us about his expectations of how he thought this would all unfold?
Well, I'll let the president's words speak for themselves, but I think what it highlights, and it just highlights the complexity of negotiating and dealing with the Iranians. When we did the JCPOA back in the 2015-2016 timeframe, that was nearly a two-year discussion. They are experts at negotiation. They understand how to play the information environment. These things take time, and I think the president's general viewpoint, maybe because of his business experience, is that these things can be done quickly. And I think what we're learning, particularly with an actor like Iran, is that these take time, and they're not going to be. These are longstanding issues, and they're not going to be resolved quickly.
How do the two sides re-engage now in some kind of discussion?
Well, we'll see. It doesn't appear that there's at least a temporary break here. And I think what we're likely to see, and we'll see what happens this evening if the United States goes back in and does some more strikes. But I think what we're seeing from a military standpoint is what I would describe as kind of controlled escalation. At least that's from the United States. It's kind of a military targeting to degrade Iran's capability to influence things in the Strait. And I think the hope will be that, this will play out in another cycle or maybe a couple here, and then we'll come back to the table here, and there'll be a kind of a conditional re-engagement. It may mean that we need to relook at the particulars of the Memorandum of Understanding. I think from a U.S. standpoint, I think it's become clear that we need to negotiate a harder, verification-heavy, successor arrangement for this that actually allows us to move forward on the big issues.
How difficult from a strategic perspective is it to read President Trump's language? It was interesting looking at some of the international media coverage in the past 24 hours. Some were listing it as breaking news that the ceasefire was over. Some were running it further down as another change in the president's language, but not in an alarming way. How do you reflect on all of that?
Yeah, interesting question. I think President Trump certainly has a very unique way of communicating to the American public and to the global public in general. And I won't try to explain or interpret, how he does all of that. I mean, he has a very unique way that he does it. And I think that's just part of his style of speaking very directly and in some cases off the cuff and really showing some emotion about how he is feeling at the moment. And I think those are designed to, I think that language is really designed to convey how he really sees the situation at the moment. Even in some cases, it may not be as clear and diplomatic speak like we've been used to in the past, but it is how the man communicates, I think.
General, we can't talk about this conflict without talking about oil and money. The US has reimposed sanctions on Iranian oil sales, which had been lifted as part of the initial memorandum of understanding. How big a blow will that be to Iran?
Well, I think this will be a setback for Iran, and I think the intended purpose of that is to put more pressure on the regime. While they've had a couple of weeks of the lifting of that, that's certainly not enough to begin to repair the long-term damage that has been done to the Iranian economy here by this regime, and I think there is going to have to be a reckoning at some point within the regime leadership that if they don't move forward in this, that not only are the people going to suffer, and I don't know that the regime is particularly concerned about that, but the regime is going to become more vulnerable as well. These economic type of things, I think, take time, and again, that will take a little bit of time to pass until that has an impact. But I think this does not bode well for Iran longer term.
General Votel, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Sally. Good to talk with you again.